Where is your mind while you're at work? Do you ever feel like you're just getting by or barely managing to hold on and hold it together? I'm Ilana Afrika Bredenkamp. Welcome to Mind at Work. In this series, we explore the mental hurdles we face in the workplace and how understanding our minds can lead to real, lasting solutions. Roshni Prabhu is joining us on Mind at Work. Well, if you've heard this name before, it's because she's with SADC. Do you know how many times I give out that SADC number because I want everyone to understand that we've got their back? Roshni, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us, but thank you for always being so supportive and for supporting all your listeners by giving out that number and making sure that they know that mental health matters.
Mental health does matter, and especially here at Mind at Work. Roshni is the project manager for education at SADC, and today we're going to start unpacking some of your questions that came in. Thank you so much for trusting us with your confidential commentary. Some of your questions have been answered in some of our other podcasts and conversations, and we're glad that we could help. Roshni, somehow when I see you, I see a panic button. I see the notion of a panic button and how I have the urge to press it. When is it time to say, I need to be heard, I need to press that button?
I think there isn't an answer where I can say, okay, after 2 days or after a week, when you realize that something doesn't feel right, when you realize that this is affecting me and my daily life and what's going on, press that panic button. But even if you just feel like today is just a slightly off day, it's okay to press the panic button then too. You don't have to be in full-blown emergency mode. Press that panic button when you just need someone to talk to. Press that panic button when you are struggling and have no one to talk to. The amount of people that call us and don't have anyone. We always tell people that before COVID, we were getting 600 calls a day. And during COVID, that doubled. Currently, Ilana, we are getting up to 3,000 calls a day.
Right.
And that means that is 3,000 people that only have a stranger to speak to. And that stranger is the counselor on the other line. So press that panic button whenever you feel you need someone to speak to.
In the workplace, it feels like it's just became harder. You know, we are told to show up. You know, I have before talked about how I don't really want to use the word resilience anymore. I feel like we need to pay attention and we need to own our feelings and we need to call for help. You know, if we don't want to follow through with that resilient feeling that everyone expects us to have. These are all phrases that almost instruct us to show up, you know, that instruct us to always be strong. We must always be on, in war mode, ready, you know. In terms of a helpline, what is a counselor's job? So I call a helpline, I call SADC, I go and see a counselor or a psychologist. What am I trying to do?
You're trying to get help. You're admitting that something is wrong. But our main role and the way that we operate at the South African Depression and Anxiety Group is counsel, contain, and refer. So the first thing we do is we counsel. We listen. We speak. We are your support system.
Right.
We are that ear that you don't feel you have elsewhere. And in terms of contain, we make sure that you feel you are comfortable enough to take that next step. Because if we are talking anxiety, if we are talking depression, if we are talking any mental illness, it's always hard to take that next step because it's very overwhelming. Because a lot of times we don't know what to do. What do I do first? Who do I call first? Do I call a counselor? Do I go to my GP? Do I go to a psychologist? Do I tell my boss? Maybe it's a psychiatrist. You don't know what to do. And because it's so overwhelming, sometimes you just, I'd rather not do anything, you know? And so in terms of our role as a counselor, it is to be your support system, to listen to what's going on, and then to break it down for you. So to walk that first part of the journey for you and say, okay, now you need to take that next step. But also a lot of people that have anxiety or have another mental illness, they feel so disempowered. And by us then giving you that power back by saying, right, this is what you need to do. This is step 1, 2, and 3. Go ahead and do it. We've given you that power back. We've given you that power to say, I can take control of my life. I can look after my own mental health.
What is the power of intervention and counseling? I mean, if you had to explain it to someone, what happens when you are being counseled? And in one of our other conversations, we talk about an intervention, you know, when you say to someone, a colleague and I, we're not seeing eye to eye. We need an intervention. You yourself don't feel adequate or good enough, and you need to acknowledge all those feelings and things that are going on and try and heal or get better. You know, what are the benefits of counseling and intervention?
I think the first benefit of counseling is the fact that you've already acknowledged that something is not okay. Mm-hmm. And I want to feel okay. And I deserve to feel okay. But also these feelings are valid and they are okay. And it's okay to feel this way. It's okay to feel anxious. So many of us have had to go back into the workplace. A lot of us were working from home. And now you've gone in twice a week, three times a week. And suddenly, we're all going back every single day again. And that's different because we adapted to a certain lifestyle for a long time. For a lot of us, change is different and difficult. And it's difficult to handle. So the benefits of counseling are you have someone that's listening to you, but you have someone that's also not judging you. You have someone that says to you, it's okay to feel this way. And many times, people that call us are too scared to say that to somebody else because they are so scared of being judged. Mm. And they know that this counselor is not going to judge them. They know that this is someone that understands that I am going through something and I'm allowed to go through it. We often talk in the call center and to other counselors about if we are struggling with another illness, whether that is cancer or diabetes or influenza, it's so easy to walk into the workplace and say, oh, I've got flu, not feeling great, or just had treatment, not feeling great. Why is it not easy to walk into the office space and say, just had a panic attack, not feeling great, without feeling judged? And I think that's the conversation we have to have. And that's also the role of the counselor to say, you understand it's a real illness, right? You understand that if you don't feel judged when you have the flu, or if you have diabetes, you shouldn't feel judged now. And it's to normalize those feelings and validate those feelings. And so the benefits of counseling is you have someone to listen to. Mm. You have someone to speak to and voice those feelings. It also helps you manage that stress. And you have options of coping mechanisms. So when we are counseling, when we refer on, not only do we say, right, this is the local hospital that you should go to, or this is the professional you need to see next. But if it's for something like anxiety, we'll teach you about grounding techniques over the phone. So between now and then, between now and your next appointment or your first appointment, how are we going to cope? What are the different grounding techniques? So it isn't just, okay, thank you so much for calling. Please call this number. Goodbye. It's making sure that you also have coping mechanisms in the meantime. And making you understand that there is a way to cope and there are treatments and it's okay, you're going to be okay. And we always talk about that shaken Coke bottle. If we don't speak about what we are feeling, that pressure is just building up. And so when someone is speaking to a counselor, you're releasing that pressure of the Coke bottle a little bit and you feel so much better after speaking to a counselor. It's getting that hope from the counselor that everything will be okay. And it's not just hope that has no fact behind it. We know it works. And so reach out to a counselor, reach out to anyone that you can speak to. But I think most importantly, speak about it, talk about it.
Is there space in the workplace for us to discuss our feelings? I mean, it's so interesting. This actually happened to me today. So the only reason I discussed where I am tomorrow with one of my leaders today is because he shared. So immediately because he shared, I shared.
Right.
But if he didn't, I wouldn't have. Right. I wouldn't have told him where I am, why I'm going in for a procedure. I would have just said nothing, you know, and thought, this is no one's business. This is just my business. Like, how much of it do we share at work and how much do we leave for the counselor?
I think if you are spending a lot of your time at work or even half of your day at work, you are spending a good chunk of your time there. Why restrict yourself? Okay, I'm not allowed to feel this way, or I'm not allowed to disclose what I'm feeling during this time. And it all comes from a fear of being judged. Mm. What you don't understand is by speaking, you are helping somebody else. It might not be that person that you are speaking to, but someone is listening to the conversation and someone is saying, Roshni has panic attacks. So Maybe she can help me with that. Or Roshni has anxiety or goes through depression. So we never know who we are helping when we are speaking. I think once we start speaking about this whole topic and we open up those lines of communication, it becomes easier speaking about it in the workplace. But I think we don't speak about it because we're scared that we are going to be judged. Because for the longest time, any mental illness was associated with a sign of weakness. You can't control your emotions. What are you feeling so sad about? What are you anxious about? There is something so strong about someone that can come in and say, I've just had a panic attack and I know why I've taken too much on. Or I'm struggling. I've had a few people come up to me and I've said to a few people, I'm struggling. And it's so nice to be able to sit down with someone and them say, okay, let's break it down. What are you struggling with? And they may not even know. It could be issues at home and they may not know anything about it. But the fact that they have that clear mind to just break it up for us and say, okay, so we're going to tackle A first, B second, and then we're going to do D, C third, helps you to just figure it out. And so that support system that we are creating within our workplace is so important. And we don't realize that we are doing it when we start speaking. And so I think if there's anything that I can say is in your workplace, it's almost like, you know, when I say to my kids when they go to school, I say to them, your teachers are your parents while you're at school.
Right.
Your colleagues are your family when you are at work. We don't always get along. I don't get along with my sisters all the time. And it's the same at work. But you have to see it like that. You have to see that I can develop a support system. I'm not saying your entire office is going to be your support system. But there may be a few people that will become your support system. And when you feel supported in your workplace, it makes your day a bit easier. And it has a knock-off effect on everything that goes on.
The penny dropped for me when you said you spend majority of your time at work, right?
So if you look at someone who is struggling with anxiety in the workplace,
it's limiting.
Totally. They become so unproductive, or not even so unproductive, but you become a little bit more unproductive. It affects how you do things. I know we have some research here. 54% of people who experience depression in the workplace say that it takes them longer to do even the most simplest tasks.
Say that again.
So 54% of people who suffer from depression say that in the workplace, it takes them longer than others to do the most simplest tasks. And so if you sort out your anxiety, or you sort out whatever it is that you are struggling with and is affecting your mental health, it then changes how productive you become. It then changes how much more work you are doing. When you are achieving more work, you're feeling better about yourself. When you're feeling better about yourself, you are feeling a little bit happier and prouder. And then you are able to wake up a little bit earlier the next morning, because today I struggled to get out of bed. Tomorrow, when I wake up, I'm like, I did it yesterday. I can do it today. And when I go in today, I've come in with a little bit more energy and I'm going to achieve a little bit more. And so when you do seek out counseling, it's not going to lead to instant happiness, I think was something we were going to discuss. It's not going to lead to instant happiness. But what it is going to do is it's going to help you manage that stress. What it is going to do is it's going to help you cope. It's going to help you deal with things. It's going to help you realize every single day, I did it yesterday. Last week, I actually couldn't do what I did yesterday. And so imagine what I can do tomorrow.
Today and tomorrow, yeah.
Absolutely. And so it's also taking back that power that you feel that anxiety or mental illness has taken from you.
I like this fact sheet that you have here. What other stats do you have there?
So we did some research about mental health in the workplace. And we found that 1 in 4 South African employees have been diagnosed with depression. So in this room itself, one of us might be diagnosed with depression. And so if we're talking about our workplace as well, we could be walking through these studios today, not knowing what anybody else is going through. Because we often keep it hidden, right? We don't talk about it. And often we don't talk about it and we say we don't talk about it because I don't want to trouble you with my problems. I'll deal with it by myself. But most of the time we need to speak to someone about it because somebody else is thinking a little bit clearer and they can help you get through it. 80% take time off work because of their mental illness. And that's a big one. But if you knew you had that support at work, do you think that number would still be 80%? If you knew I'm going to a place, yes, it's going to be a hard day, but you know what? People are there to support me. People have my back. That number might drop. And so it's about creating that workplace environment where it's okay. It's okay to have a mental illness. It's okay to have anxiety. It's okay to feel depressed. Because if we're thinking realistically, how many of us have felt sad or depressed in these last few years? So many of us. And so we all have a story to share. And we just never know what the other person is going through.
At work, we always create these wellness days. You know, there's always a wellness day and then there's someone that takes your blood pressure and a vitamin B injection. And is that something that you work with organizations where you help businesses? Because for me, a wellness day, we need to sort out our minds at work.
Absolutely. And so, you know, we often speak at SADAG about the difference between mental health and mental illness. And there's a big difference. So mental illness is your depression, your anxiety, the illness that you are going through. But mental health, we are all born mentally healthy. And just like we are all born, most of us physically healthy.
Right.
And just like we look after our own physical health, like you said, the wellness days, you take your blood pressure, you give blood, all of these things. We speak about exercising. We speak about eating healthy. But why aren't we talking about what makes us mentally healthy? And so, yes, those, as SADAG, we do wellness days. It's very different. It's very different because it's a once-off session. We'll go in and speak to all of our employees about investing in their mental health.
Yes.
But it needs to become as popular or as common as those wellness days where you do your blood pressure and you do all of these things that make you see whether you are physically healthy. We need to see if you are mentally healthy as well. The other issue with that is that how many of us will actually go to that stand to say, okay, am I mentally healthy without feeling judged, without feeling like, is my job at risk? If I am not mentally well, am I at risk of losing my job? And again, I think we should ask that question. If you have diabetes, are you at risk of losing your job? So if you have depression and you are being treated for it and you are getting all the help that you need, why should you be at risk of losing it?
I think our leadership are at risk because they are least likely to own a problem, you know, because they need to lead us.
Yeah.
So they have to be flawless. You know, they have to be spotless. Nothing can be wrong with them. They always have to show up. What kind of support can we lend to them in order to move forward and in order to put these kind of practices in place so that it's not a you issue, it's an us issue?
Totally. I think when you were saying that, I thought lead by example. So if you are going through something, show your employees it's okay. It's okay to struggle. But I will also show you how we will get help. Who defines what showing up actually is? Who defines what showing up is? Is showing up pretending like nothing is wrong? That's not showing up. That's actually doing the total opposite. Showing up is saying, I've got a problem, I'm struggling, and I will get help. Because one day, when you have the same problem and you are struggling, you're going to remember me. That's showing up for me.
What if you are discriminated against in the workplace because you disclosed? How do you get help? How do you let someone know, but I think I didn't get the raise because I told them that I'm not okay?
And so I think the reason that happens is because when it comes to things like depression, what did I just say now? They are 80% take time off work because of their depression. And so automatically, when someone says, oh, I just want you to know I've been diagnosed with depression, automatically, whoever you're saying that to is thinking, oh gosh, not going to be productive. We're going to lose him for days on end when he's having a bad day. But what people don't realize is that there is treatment available and you can be productive. But the reason 80% are not productive is because they don't understand that you can get that help. And I think what's also scary, Ilana, is that everyone thinks, okay, so a mental illness, I'm going to have to take meds for the rest of my life. There are so many different ways of dealing with your mental illness. I have a headache, I'll take a Panado. It may not work for your headache.
Mm.
And so it's the same with a mental illness. What may work for me may not work for you. And so there's so many different treatments, but I think it does start from the top where we stop discriminating, where we show up by mm-hmm. saying, nothing wrong with that. And we are going to give you some time off. If some of this is being caused by work, how do we fix it? Because if you are identifying this issue, how many other employees are going through this?
Mm.
And so I think it's also important for all of us in our workplace to understand that by supporting each other, whether you are right on the top or right at the bottom, by supporting each other, that just makes our workplace more productive. It will just lead us to succeed.
Definitely.
And so I just feel like we need to open up those conversations. But like you say, if we don't see it coming from the top, if we don't see, okay, you know, the boss struggled, but he was okay, so I'll be okay too. If we don't see it there, if that all is being hidden, then how do we encourage that?
Time for our listeners' questions, and we're keeping you anonymous. So thank you so much for writing us. Mind at Work. Ilana, a lot has happened the past 3 years. She talks about her passing in COVID, and there's been a few things that has made her feel like she is, and I quote, getting it from all sides all the time. I conclude as I summarize this email. It says, without a partner, all of this is difficult and terrifying, and it feels like Anonymous is really alone. What to do?
So the hardest thing about COVID was that many of us realized that death is a real thing.
Mm.
And whether that was children, whether that was adults, but we also realized what it truly meant to be alone when we were isolating. But a lot of us did lose loved ones. And a lot of us lost loved ones very suddenly. And a lot of us lost loved ones that we couldn't even go and say goodbye to in the hospitals.
Sure.
And so there was so much trauma that was associated with that. And we often forget about the trauma that is associated with difficult things that we have to do in our lives. And so, yes, it does feel very alone. And the reality is there may be people reaching out to Anonymous, but because you feel so alone and you feel like you are juggling so many balls and they all look like they are coming crashing down, you don't see people reaching out to you. And my advice would be, number one, call a stranger. Call a counselor at the South African Depression and Anxiety Group. See what it feels like to speak to someone.
Mm.
See what it feels like to be able to release all those emotions and talk about what you are feeling. And when you do that, you'll realize, okay, there are other people that have reached out for me. You'll realize that there are other people that want to be there for me. Because often we will be having a conversation with someone on the line and say, oh, but has anyone ever said this to you? Or has anyone maybe come and brought you some supper? And Anonymous might think, oh, you're right. She did bring me supper that day. I didn't even think about it. And it's okay not to remember it because you are going through a lot.
Mm.
But if you feel like you are alone, you aren't. That's what the 260 plus counselors at the South African Depression and Anxiety Group are there for. That's why we are there 24 hours a day. That's why we are there 7 days a week, because someone will always need us at some time. So Anonymous, if we are not there for you, then who are we there for?
We have another question, and this one is from our listener. She is Anonymous, and she is talking about a series of events. In a lengthy email, she talks about a few occurrences, and she mentions the year the incident. And having had these conversations with Mind at Work, we realized that sometimes we are in a pattern of incidents that have happened to us. Without diagnosing Anonymous, you know, she ends off a letter that talks about her beloved and her children, and she apologizes. She says, I hope I didn't bore you, you know. So that broke my heart, because this is a life that she's talking about.
Yeah.
But she's talking about really struggling these days.
And that's a tough one. But what Anonymous doesn't realize is that everyone is struggling. in different ways. And that doesn't make your struggle any less important. But by just putting those words down in that email, you have already said, I am important and I deserve to have a hearing. And even if she ends it with, I'm sorry for boring you. You know, often we also have to think that for the longest time we grew up in a society where we weren't allowed to talk about our problems. And that's what I said earlier. You know, oh, I've just had a panic attack, but I don't want to waste your time on that. Or I'll deal with it. It's not your problem to deal with. Why is it that we don't feel that it's okay to share? Why is it that we don't feel that it's okay to be struggling? And what I want Anonymous to know is that with the support of counseling or even a family member or a good friend or even just putting that email to you, you are already getting help because you're acknowledging it, that I'm struggling, what do I do? And you are reaching out. So by sending that email, it has now come up on the podcast and she will listen to it and then she'll realize, okay, there's help for me, and she will get help. And so the ball has already started rolling. And we often don't want to put that burden, for lack of a better word, on our loved ones and our kids because, oh, they're already dealing with so much. But imagine if later on we realized that my loved one was going through something and they didn't feel comfortable enough to come to me.
To you, yeah.
How would I feel? And so I think my message would actually be to the loved ones of all the anonymouses out there, if that's even a word, to listen. Listen for the silences. Listen for the little hints. Watch the change. We know what our loved ones are like, and we know when they are being different. And yes, sometimes we are scared to acknowledge it because we don't know how to fix it, but you don't need to know how to fix it. We are not all therapists. I'm not a therapist. I will not know how to fix everything, but I can tell you where to go to get it fixed, you know? And so I'm your first step. And so to the loved ones, ask those questions. You look like you are struggling. Is there anything I can do? But also, we don't all have the answers. And it's okay not to have the answers, but it's really important to be supportive. And so to Anonymous, what I would say is you're probably feeling like you are juggling a million balls right now and every single one of them feels so important. But if you actually sit down, put it down on paper and say, right, this is what I need to do. What do I need to do first? And tackle it one by one. As you tick off that list, that sense of achievement will do so much for you that you are happy to tackle the next one and the next one. We feel like we are running a race and there are 16 hurdles in front of us. And why do we feel like we need to jump all 16 at the same time? Jump the first one. Look behind you and say, that one's done. Jump the second one. And before you know it, all 16 hurdles are down, but they're down one by one and not all 16 at one time.
Roshni, while we are improving our minds at work, what's that number?
So 0800-567-567. We have so many resources available for anyone. I mean, you might be at work and having some anxiety, and the last thing you want to do is phone and speak to a counselor with all your colleagues around you. WhatsApp us. All of our numbers are available on www.sedec.org. All of our resources are available on there. There's so much material that you can read. It's so important to educate ourselves about things. When COVID first happened, or if you are diagnosed with an illness, what do we all do? We go and do our research. Do the same when it comes to your mental illness. Read, find out what you can do. And you'll find out that, you know what? You can get through this.
Roshni, thanks for helping us get through this. This is Mind at Work. That was Roshni Padwa. And I'm Ilana.